tools. Give us what you're doing with evangelism. Give us. And so we had 13 delegates from 8 different countries. We have another list of about a dozen that were working through the process, but because of all that's going on with the border security and everything else, even to the point of 3 of them were rejected the day before the planes were leaving. So nothing wrong on their end, just the depth of the process, including Brother TK, who has been here for 20-something years. He lives in an area where there's some confusion because of what's going on in battles over there. And they put a $10,000 bounty on his visa to be sure that he went back, even though he's not a danger or a flight risk.
Okay, so they came and they were came to Princeton, Kentucky, mm-hmm. which now, by the way, just think about this. Those nations coming to Princeton, Kentucky. Princeton population, a little over 7,000, one old angry person. He came to work this morning.
Amen.
And he's here right now. But actually, at the ministry center just above Joseph Storage Bin. And so while they were here, what in the world did you teach them?
Well, we had several national ministries come in that we partner with already on the field when we go over. In Touch Ministries was here to do 30 Life Principles.
That, for you that don't remember, that's Dr. Charles Stanley.
Yeah, Ron McCant, who's the international director, came and did that training. Compass Ministries, which is a financial process ministry international on multiple continents, came and did God Money, a platform to help them teach their churches how to deal with God's finances and resources correctly. We had CBT, Chronological Bible Training, which is the authors and the editors of the Chronological Bible that most of you have if you're reading through one that has the daily devotion and the questions and those kind of things. So Stan and Iva May came from Mid-America Bible it's now a university, and they did that training, along with some pastors and evangelists, Truth for Today, which is Terry Fant, Ronnie Smith's ministry, others. And then we had some other dribbles of information. And then Pastor Johnny Hunt came and did pastoral and spiritual leadership training, as well as deacon pastor training for them to just have the tools to combine all that together to help them and encourage them in what's going on.
Now, when we said, talk about, you called them delegates earlier, and you mentioned that they're from 8 different countries. Mm-hmm. Name some of the countries you can remember.
Burkina Faso, Namibia, Kenya. I just got stuck.
Okay.
South Africa, Malawi, Tanzania. I'm forgetting one.
Okay.
Oh, no, I said Burkina Faso. Well, that's the West Coast.
Well, I'm familiar with South Africa a bit and Malawi, haven't gone there myself, but it was quite interesting to meet these guys. But they were from all over. Now, they're already leaders of large groups, or how were they chosen to come?
They have to sign up and go through LDI, which is Leadership Development Initiative. That's an in-continent ministry led by TK. And these are folks that already have a ministry that is functioning. They're already identified as a leader in the community and have an influence over multiple people, multiple areas within that is the criteria for getting them here. And then they have to fill out a form that shows what is their target ministry. It's not they're wanting to do something, it's they're already doing something, and how will leadership, training, equipping help them fulfill that or move it forward? And so those criteria are put in place before they're, you know, allowed to come, I guess is the way to say that.
This is the first one of its kind, and the way I understand it from remembering from hearing TK speak at a meeting that we had in, Gatlinburg, mm-hmm. was it? And he was talking about instead of taking these groups to make a one-shot impact, nothing wrong with that.
No.
But it doesn't have a strong impact to reach into the churches to develop them. So this model is to bring the leaders here, mm-hmm. maybe spending less, maybe even so, on them or whatever the case is. That's not the point. But training them to take it back so it will mobilize and multiply. Is that the idea?
It is, along with the opportunity to undergird that and encourage them through electronic means of what we call media ministry and the process of being a digital missionary. By our studio upstairs, we can do some in-person training now again with them. So some of those guys are going to pull people together in their area, and we'll refresh or encourage the training that we've done just to help them be able to expand that process where they're at. I really think when you say saving funding, there are two prongs to what we're doing as we go over. And most of the folks that are listening may know this, but if you take a group of 10 and really invest in the time and some of the resources needed for crusade conferences and the equipping while you're there, you're going to spend close to $40,000 very easily with flights, and that's for a 7 to 14-day time period. And generally when you do that, all those components I just mentioned to you that we taught them, you can probably only get about one of those in to train a cluster of people. By bringing them here, you can spend about $2,500 a piece on them, get them here and put them in front of the trainers. And again, when we're talking about international trainers, these are folks that can't get to all those places. So you're hitting eight countries all at one time, developing the process. And then here's the key to it, Brother Ken, for us. When we go, we target pastors going with us. We're grateful for lay people that go, but we're targeting the pastors that go with us because the pastor can go back and lead and train and encourage, plus get their people on board. So we're training trainers as we go. Then we're bringing those leaders here. So, Brother Ken, you met Okuku from Kenya.
Yes.
Maybe God would have you and somebody else to go and visit Okuku, but now you know what we've given them, so you know which direction to go and teach, preach, encourage, and fortify that. And then you have a plan to work off that they brought us that says we're digging a well or we're doing a school or we're trying to build another church or we're planting. That allows you to have a platform to go in rather than the $40,000 to do the survey trip to figure out, okay, now what are we going to do? And so we're building from both ends at the same time as this is going on.
Well, you're going at it at the level of impact. And with that being said, then you multiply leaders, because after all, that's how the Apostle Paul did it. If you go to the New Testament model, which is what one should go to, you'll find that in the villages that he went, he spent time developing leaders, planted elders, got them going, then they consequently would teach others.
Yeah.
And that model has not changed.
Well, and one of the things that I hope people are catching, that through the digital missionary model or the electronic means, we have the ability to write the epistle to them, meaning they've been here. We've taught them, and we can give them encouragement monthly or so by preparing a lesson or a challenge to them. And we go online, they see our face, we see them, and continue that process. That way, when a pastor like you says, hey, where's God at work? We can share the testimony. You can figure out where your people can go. And there's a platform for that to happen. Then they make the connection over here, so local church to local church, helping the kingdom.
Well, when we get back after Pen from the Heart, a little music here, won't you be thinking about a story or two that came from that conference that stood out to you? Can you think of that, Brother Harold?
Absolutely.
Well, Brian Marshall Sidebottom, the first guy, I guess Harold's had his eggs or his muffin or something, because he's thinking now, are you firing on all cylinders this morning? Or are there missing places that we need to fire you up?
He's like one of them old John Deere double pumpers that goes.
He's an old putt. He's a putt-putt tractor.
Putt-putt tractor. There you go.
Okay, they got a lot of power.
They do have a lot of power.
Yeah. Okay, Brian.
You think it's time for Pen from the Heart?
I think so, because would you putt right to it?
I'll do it.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
Dear Missionary Radio friends, thank you for your dedication to the Lord and His service. Missionary Radio is such a blessing to me, a Madisonville listener. From Clarksville, sorry that you all were short in offerings this summer. Hope this helps a little bit. I could get through my day without hearing God's messages every day. And from Big Rock, thank you for spreading the word around the world. Our God is an awesome God.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Sharing hope in Christ 24/7.
Yes, a little nippy on the front porch this morning. Brian Marshall Sidebottom the first didn't have the coffee ready. So,
No.
So how about the hot chocolate? You have that going?
No.
What have you been doing all day?
Well, I mean, you know.
Making the machines work.
That's right.
That's it. Well, at 724, Brother Harold Riley's with us. He's from HR Ministries and also a part of the ministry here through, as a board member, board of directors of Penner Isle Christian Community Incorporated. Now, they said, the who? Missionary Radio, if that'll help you out.
That'll help.
But it's been Penner Isle Christian Community Incorporated since 1974. Now, with that being said, last segment I asked you, Brother Harold, some stories coming from that conference. Just anything that might come to your mind.
Well, particularly just the sovereignty of God's hand in the midst of getting them here. Duala, who is a pastor, preacher from Burkina Faso, which is on the west coast, on the Horn of Africa, underneath the bottom there. He is a Muslim who was born again. God's raised him up to be a leader, and his village is rescuing those that are being persecuted from the north and encouraging them. But his connection with us came from Brother TK being on the stage in Dubai in a leadership training and a conversation that came just walking to supper. He was looking for someone to accompany him to go eat. They had a long conversation. He put in an application. But the timing, this is only about 5 weeks ahead of time. And as I shared a moment ago, lots of difficulties with visas these days, lots of difficulties. Well, he was not supposed to have his visa meeting till October the 25th.
Oh, he'd have missed it.
He would have missed it. Mm-hmm. Well, he gets a telephone call and says, we have an opening. We need you to come in on the 3rd. Well, if you look at the timing, that was just the week before getting on the plane. To fill out visas in some of those countries, you have to put a target date on a potential trip. He wrote down, for no apparent reason, October the 11th would be his first available day to go to the United States. Well, they didn't even interview him. They just gave him the visa.
Wow.
And the day for the plane tickets and everything that was necessary to be here on time was October the 11th.
Wow.
Now, over and over again, those gentlemen, and we don't have time on radio, would share various and different means and ways that the Lord had provided access or direction or availability. One of them was supposed to be in another conference, and the Lord canceled that conference, which gave him availability to go ahead and be here with us, and different things like that all the whole time.
Well, while they were in Kentucky, and namely Princeton, what fascinated them about our culture? I know when I go to a different country or continent of Africa in a different country or go to Central America, which I've been, I can't even remember how many times, and lived there. But so what stuck out to them? What shocked them or or do they just couldn't get over anything?
Yes, and it was conveyed multiple times too. And I'm gonna have to give a backstory on this as I say it, but
well, circle back. Let's get there.
Their greatest presentation was they were surprised that the American church was not dead.
Mm, let's hear why. Mm. Now well, that fascinates me right there. That statement.
They have a lot of input from the TV. And those of you that are listening, this may offend you, but from the hyper TV presentations and the negativity from some of the news stations that they have an opportunity that the demise and the moral corruption and everything else is a filter in which they're looking at America through and assuming that if all that's going on the streets, if all that's happening in that world that I'm fixing to go visit, to step up into the platforms of the churches of the about 20 that they had an opportunity to share with and see people respond to the altar. And many people need to know that without training and equipping, most of those areas don't see much response unless somebody comes to do a crusade. So they have church, they preach, and everybody goes home. And to see people responding and filling the altars to prayer really captured their heart to say they're going back to tell folks that God's not dead. The second in that is, you know, as we've been over and communicate with them, there's a real reality that for people on the ground in a foreign nation that we're so blessed, but yet they look at Christianity through the filter of the United States. One of the older pastors said, when you all get it right, we do good. Hmm. When you all do bad, we do terrible. Please go back and tell the people in America, we need them to get it right. We're depending on them. So there's a cultural understanding that America is a Christian nation, even though the Americans don't get it anymore. Mm. Hello? And yeah. so that statement was brought up more than one time that we're excited that we found out, so to speak, we've discovered that the American church is not dead.
Now, that ought to be a shocking eye-opener for us right there. Mm-hmm. And also, it should be some encouragement at the same time.
Absolutely.
But what's being projected from the media, and even so right now, we don't believe the narrative. Keep focus on the Lord. See what he's doing.
Yeah, well, all they see is the embattlement over, you know, the political structure in the streets and everything else and the demise of finances and other things. So reflection is the church in most of our foreign countries is the catalyst or the anchor for the community. So when you see that, okay, something must be wrong with the American church. Then they get here and find that there are people in the altars and pastors are excited and things are happening. So praise the Lord for that. Well, now, I have a little different filter myself in that.
Okay, let's hear your filter. Well, can you get unfiltered?
Yeah. Well, we're not there yet.
Okay.
I praise the Lord they see that, but
I'm with you.
If they think that we're on fire, then we've missed it.
Yeah, something I was thinking, what are they seeing that I don't see?
Yeah.
But when you have eyes coming from another country,
absolutely,
they'll see things differently than you. And I can tell you that by that.
Yeah, as we do when we go over there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you go to any new place, you're going with eyes wide open. But the truth is, as a Christian, we ought to keep our eyes wide open all the time to see what the Lord is up to and join him in on that. And not hesitate to move in areas that, I don't know about this. Well, who are you trying to get the approval of, God or man?
Right.
And so I think that's maybe where that filter is of yours a bit. Am I hitting it?
Absolutely. One of the other things with these men and missionaries as they came was they were we have preconceived ideas. They weren't sure what they were going to get when they got here. They just know they have a need. And when they got ready to go home, training that they've received refreshed their thoughts and ideas of being able to go back and reach their nation. Here's the truth. Maybe some of us as Americans need to go somewhere else and let some people train us because we get stale, we get frustrated, we get tired, and that's all over the continent. 20,000 20,000 pastors across the world will quit this year.
Mm.
Quit. And I don't mean quit preaching. I mean quit, period.
Walk out and
just
stop.
Quit.
That's it.
No more.
Wow.
And so,
and they're getting old guys like me coming that don't that keep said, hey, come on back in the game.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, our pastors need encouragement because it's a tough job. And so on both sides of the pond, that's our goal, is just to encourage and challenge pastors. We're some of these guys are more educated than most of the people that trained them, mm-hmm. just simply. But we're talking about theological training is where they sit. But a lot of times our pastors and leaders need leadership training and encouragement, meaning what do I do with this information that I got theologically, and how do I implement it to my people so that they can understand theologically what we're doing? And that's kind of the basis of what we have an opportunity
it's
to do.
Like knowing, having a motor that you're going to replace on this, maybe a sprayer or whatever. But if you don't have the right tools to take that old motor off and put the new motor on, you're stopped. Mm-hmm. So you got to have the right tools to know what to do to move that motor on,
right,
to energize it. And I know that's a far-fetched illustration because I'm trying to deal with that myself, putting on a new motor on a sprayer.
Somebody might want to go help that brother.
But, you know, the analogy is there. Hey, when we get back from this little break here with Johnny and Kurt, she's sharing, going to be sharing some hope. We're going to talk about another event coming up. And I think I heard Harold say something about, see, you're doing a concert in December, you said?
We are.
You're singing?
No, I'm not singing. I'm Josh Wilson's Christmas concert will be in Princeton, Kentucky on December the 5th.
Where's it going to be?
It'll be at Christ Tabernacle. They're hosting for us, and looking forward to what the Lord does with that.
Well, I figure that maybe Missionary Radio can do something for it.
Well, come on by.
Well, I mean to get people there.
Absolutely.
Josh Wilson.
Josh Wilson.
Yeah, I know who that is. Well, what are you going to do?
I'm going to hit a button for Johnny Erickson Tata Sharing Hope.
He's going to make that machinery's work again.
Really?
Will that be okay?
Well, I think so.
All right.
Welcome to Johnny Erickson Tata Sharing Hope. And here's Johnny with a good word from 2 Corinthians chapter 1.
And here's that good word for you, starting in verse 5. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Now, let me unpack that for a minute, because the apostle is saying that if you go through a distressing time, don't look inward. Look outward, because it's for someone else's salvation. And if you experience comfort from God in the middle of some disappointment or heartache, again, don't look inward. Look outward, because you need to pass that comfort on to someone else who really needs help. Let me give you an example of this. My friend Megan was in and out of hospitals constantly before the Lord finally took her home, releasing her from a very painful disease. Now, in her remaining months, no one would have blamed Megan had she sequestered herself away and looked inward. But Megan was a 2 Corinthians chapter 1 kind of woman, and she decided to use her remaining time on earth to pass on to others the many ways she was experiencing God's help and encouragement. In fact, her life was lived so outwardly that she found her condition was made more bearable because she was able to make her testimony real toward her doctors and her nurses. There was Christy, the transplant nurse, who was cool-headed in the operating room but cold-hearted about spiritual things. That is, until she met Megan. And there was Marge at the nurse's station, who constantly whined about the hospital pay scale and new regulations. But her whining ceased when she became friends with Megan. Then there was Carmen, the Hispanic nurse's aide who emptied trash cans and changed Megan's linens. Carmen did not see her role in the hospital hallways as all that important until Megan started warmly reaching out to her. Carmen felt so honored and started listening to this dying woman's testimony. Others going through menopause or midlife crisis began to see their problems fade once they spent time with my friend Megan. Eventually, Megan became completely blind and unable to do anything physically. But even when she went into hospice, she did not have to worry about feeling useless or having no purpose for living, all because she knew that her suffering was for the comfort and encouragement of the salvation of others. She did not live inward. She continued to live outward. Friend, if you are distressed today, Think about it. It is for the salvation of someone else. If you are suffering, it has a bearing on whether or not those who, even at a distance, witness your perseverance and become a Christian. God longs to invite unbelievers and a few vacillating believers to examine the foundations of your faith. So, do you live inwardly when you are suffering, or do you live outwardly? Is your focus on others? Are you reaching out? Your witness, is it as bold as the claims upon which your faith rests? And when others see you pass on God's encouragement and comfort, it should make the toughest skeptics think twice about God. So, how about living outwardly right now? How about it?
Thank you, Johnny. Friend, this is such an important message. Why not pass on this encouragement and share today's program with your friends? After all, it's the Megan thing to do. It's the 2 Corinthians chapter 1 thing to do. So go to johnnyradio.org today, where you can hear this program again and share it with someone you love. That's a great way to start living outwardly.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Colossians 1, 9 through 14, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins."
I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
Just a real positive influence to keep our mindset where it should be and focused on God and loving others.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
And, of course, this is The Front Porch on Thursday morning.
Yeah, with Brian Marsh, the side bottom, the first.
Ta-da.
And there isn't a second, he says.
Nope.
And I'm Ken Cummins, along with Brother Harold Riley, HR Ministries, and also Missionary Radio with through the Board of Directors. Brother Harold, we were going to move now to a next event you got coming up. And I think this was something that developed over the summer with your interns.
Absolutely,
Give us a backdrop of what's going on.
Well, we had three interns that we generally try to invest in some college students every summer to walk them through ministry and just be a part of their lives. We were headed to Boston, so I brought them and a couple of young volunteers into the office and sat down. We spent 3 hours getting ready to be able to do street evangelism, door-to-door evangelism, just refresh and encourage. We take all of our volunteers through evangelism training, but since they were short-termers, I wanted to be sure they were equipped for the trip. Well, to make a long story short, when we got done, a couple of days later, they all came back into the office and said, "We want to talk." To be quite frank with you, one of the young ladies said, I've been in church all my life, and there are people around me constantly asking questions, and nobody's taught us. And the other day, you showed us how to engage people and share with them the gospel. And we just believe that there's more people that want to know more about that. And so that's the short, condensed version. But they'd been on mission trips. They had done stuff with the churches. And again, they're getting from Christian schools, from two of them go to Christian schools and other positioning. They said, nobody's teaching us this stuff. Mm. We go to church and nobody teaches us this stuff. Would you? And so I threw a challenge back on the table to them and said, well, what are we going to do about that? And so long story short, it developed a student academy November 14th, 15th, 16th. They've challenged some of their folks a small minimum fee of $20 that pays for food and commitment. You know, sometimes young people, we all, not just young people, everybody, if you don't have some skin in the game, you may or may not show up. So anyway, we're gonna give them about 6-7 times that much in equipment and materials. But they're going to come on Friday evening. We're going to have a little bit of worship and challenge. And then on Saturday, we're going to do some training with evangelism, God and Money, and a couple other components just to give them the ability to have some resources and answer the questions that are before them on the college campuses.
Now, is the registration already up?
No, sir. No,
how does that work?
All they got to do is call the office at 270-365-6044. There is a Facebook page on HR Ministries. It's got a QR code. They hit that. It'll take them directly to registration as well. If you don't have the $20, call us. I promise you, we'll make a way for you. And so if your student body, your college and careers bunch at your church doesn't have anything to do, I would challenge you to just bring them on. Let us know. There's not a lot out there in our churches for that group from the 18 to 25 year old sect that they can go and participate in every once in a while. There'll be a group that'll go to Passion Conference in Atlanta, those kind of things. But as far as a regular, consistent opportunity, there's not one around here. So we want to encourage your churches. Again, if you're teaching a college and careers class or that age group, singles, whatever the case may be, give us a holler. We've got room and we've got housing for them.
I was going to ask you where they're going to stay.
Yeah, we have housing. We can handle about 45 plus. Our goal is to have 40-ish in the building. So, and that doesn't sound like a lot, but
when you have folks that get started out that haven't had any training whatsoever, and that's not something that you're going to just have in cupcakes and cookies.
No.
I mean, we're talking meat here.
Yes, sir. We'll be very serious and answer the questions, and there'll be some apologetics in that a little bit in relation to how you answer those questions and why. And to be honest with you, I'm anticipating some very unusual questioning coming up based on the culture, what's going on with the Charlie Kirk issue and all the rest of the things that are going on. The young people, the Z's have got questions about politics. They've got questions about how does that fit in with evangelism? How does that fit in with how we answer their needs and what's going on? And to be honest with you, we're just going to push them to the Word. There's no other answer but the Word.
That was the next question. You, with these various topics that you, this broad range you just gave us, your instructors are going to be who? You?
Me. I have a couple other guys that are going to be with us, but we intended on having Dan Lewis from Asbury come down, but he can't be there with us. But the basics, again, this is a kind of a kickoff and another one of those, let's get our footing and find out where people are at, what they need. I've dealt with young people. I was a youth pastor earlier for a long time, and with dealing with Job Corps on a regular basis, when I leave here, I'm going to go and preach to those students. My heartbeat is to help them, and I think we're set up for especially the evangelism training and a couple of other things that we'll do with them to target that, and I think they'll have a fantastic time and walk away going, uh-oh, I got to go do something.
All right, you usually have a name for everything. What's the name of this?
Student Academy.
Student Academy. And so we have pastors or youth pastors that are listening or someone that deals with that college age group. Mm-hmm. They still have time to get their young people
absolutely
involved.
Absolutely.
All right. How would they note interest? How would they go about it? I mean, to try to gather them?
You can go to hrministries.net and just send the email or call the office and we'll get you lined up in that fashion. But basically, just need to tell them there's a good opportunity for good food, fellowship for young people, and some training and equipping. Come on, see us.
All right. And again, the dates?
14th, 15th, 16th.
Of November.
November.
That's coming up right before Thanksgiving.
So absolutely.
I want to ask a why question. Why isn't evangelism this is not true from every church, but by and large, I hear it from the pulpit. You need to tell people, you need to witness. And I say these things, but I'm making a broad assumption that mm-hmm. people know how.
95% survey say 95% of folks sitting in our pews will go to heaven and be in glory with Jesus, but never tell anybody or engage anybody with the gospel.
That's shocking, but true.
There's a couple of things. We could call it fear, but to be honest with you, I've walked through a process called the Beatitudes of soul winning. But number one, you have to be. There's a lot of folks sitting in our churches that are not saved. Meaning you can't give away what you don't have.
There's no drive there if you're not saved. There's no burning fire.
And to be honest with you, the key indicator of a born-again believer is wanting to share the gospel. Mm. That's scary. Mm. That's scary. The other is we've not equipped saints for the work of the ministry. It's easy to say go, but the lack of interaction with discipleship, and one of the reasons I have the ability, even though I had the fire in my belly that you spoke about, I didn't know how to do it. But Kenny Brown and a couple of other folks used to in the 80s and early 90s, people made it a deliberate attempt to knock on doors and go and speak to people directly.
That's how I came up.
And so the blessing to that for me was every Thursday night I was put with an older gentleman, and I would just go knock on doors with him. I'd stand back and watch what they're doing, including to the point of being in a uncomfortable position of watching a cockroach run over the top of somebody's shoe. No, seriously.
I got stories, I know.
or arriving at the door and this huge banner behind the door and the man giving us a cussing saying, go on.
Yeah, or you met at the door with a dog that's not glad to see you.
Yeah, but having those men who had other men take them with them and just pray for them while they were doing it gave an opportunity for me to learn and understand. And so the young people today are wanting to know how because they sense and see the hopelessness of those around them. And yes, they got saved because they went with mama or grandma to church and the preaching got their attention and they responded. But from that point on, how do I tell somebody else to do that? And formulation of evangelism from inside the church has kept us from going outside of the church, meaning we think that bringing them to the church house is evangelism. Yeah. It's not. Evangelism is out where they live, and then their desire is to go with us.
That reminds me of a T-shirt that you have about getting out of the barn.
Can't harvest in the barn.
Yeah.
You can glean off the floor a whole lot of stuff, and that means somebody else harvested and they just showed up in the barn.
That's right.
But you got to get the equipment out. You got to sling the doors open. You got to get in the field, and you got to get dirty if you're really going to harvest.
I thought when I saw that T-shirt and I was up at Harold's office, he said, you want one? I said, outfit me. I love it.
It's in John Deere green with good bright red.
That's why I wanted it.
And yellow. And it shows, listen, it shows coming out the sides of the barn some corn stalks that have germinated inside the barn. Mm-hmm. That's not the point.
Yeah.
It's out there in the field.
Well, before, Brian Marshall Sidebottom the first, there he goes with those fingers doing the walking again. That concert.
December the 5th, Christ Tabernacle, first in Princeton, Kentucky. Doors open at 6:30, 7 o'clock, Josh Wilson's Christmas concert. There'll be more information. Watch us on Facebook at HR Ministries. Go to hrministries.net, or you can call the office at 270-365-6044. We want to connect. If you need somebody to come train, equip, if you want somebody to share what's going on, I'd be happy to do it.
Let me add this right here. If you want somebody to preach the gospel, and knows how, call Brother Harold Riley. I happen to know he comes from a good string of preachers.
Amen. My granddaddy was one of the best.
That's what I was going to say. But Harold's got that mantle plus. And 270-365-6044. You'll be hearing more about the concert, too, here at Missionary Radio. Thank you, Brother Harold, for coming by. I always enjoy having you. Brian Marshall Sidebottom the first, I'm praying about enjoying you.
Okay.
I do. I love you, brother. Hey, I do.
Hey, Sidebottom the first, you just keep working that machinery because people are blessed hearing what you're putting out there.
Amen, brother. Keep it up.
There you go. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch.